If there was ever anyone that I was willing to devote as much time as it would take to get things as right as I could get them, it is certainly she. So I just felt that bringing together texts that already existed about this amazing person who encompasses so much of our contemporary American history and our values, I just really enjoyed learning from the family, learning from the biographers, going to the Library of Congress to look through the 60-some boxes of materials, and then also having to create two pieces of writing that would fill in the gaps where there were no extant materials, to really create a, sort of a prismatic portrait of her from the point of view of people who loved her the most, from the point of view of her dissenting opinions, and from her own personal words.
What were the things that maybe you were seeking out to really hone in on this narrative arc for this song cycle?
Well, I guess I was feeling around in the dark a little bit at first. I knew I would know it when I saw it and felt it. That very first text that I was handed by James and his sister Jane, which was to be a simple birthday present for her 80th birthday celebration, that text really lit a fire under me because it was a personal narrative by Anita Escudero, a Spanish immigrant to New York City who taught herself how to type and got hired by a large law firm typing pool and then was handed these reams of legal paper with Ruth's writing when she was a law professor, just beginning to argue cases about discrimination that was mostly gender-based. At that time, she called it sex-based discrimination. Anita's ability to describe her own conversion from regular person to feminist was just so beautiful and so much fun that I thought there must be a lot of other people out there who have their own perspective on RBG, and certainly her family members can not only illuminate RBG's story, but be beautiful examples of support for her as well.
I saw an interview in which you were discussing how the lyrics were more difficult to approach than the compositional process. Is that accurate? And why would you say that the lyrics were harder to put together?
Well, it certainly took more time to assemble the texts and make sure that the story that I wanted to create was complete in the sense that it really creates an arc of history in her life. And I knew the harmonic language I wanted to use because I had already created the one song about Anita. And so once I had all the texts, then it was pretty smooth sailing.
And then let's talk a little bit about the importance of celebrating and highlighting women composers.
Well, diversity has always been in music has always been a part of CD's mission, and we've had many recordings celebrating the achievements of African descended composers, not just African American, and women composers. The debut album as a featured ensemble by the Lincoln Trio was called Notable Women, and that was actually six different American women composers. We champion the music of Chicago composers as well as performers, and Stacey Garrup, who's actually represented in addition to Patrice on this album. We've been championing her music for a few years now, and her music appears on about 10 different albums, including two devoted exclusively to her music. In the past, we've also featured music by Alida Greer, another Chicago composer, and more recently, Clarice Assad. We'll be coming out with an album next year with the Chicago Sinfonietta, which is a female conductor, which is still a rare thing these days, called Project W, and it's all women composers, and including three newly commissioned works. So yes, this has always been a focus of the label to really expand in various ways what we call the classical repertoire.
The combination of talking about social justice and music, some people don't, especially classical music, they don't see them as interwoven, but everything is coming together, especially in this project. But I think exploring humanity through music is also very important. I would just love to hear insight from each of you about that idea.
Well, I would like to observe that James's favorite composer, Dmitri Shostakovich, is a perfect example of how impossible it is to extract social justice from music. It's completely interwoven in his writing.
In fact, we just came from this last week. Yo-Yo Ma performed the second cello concerto with the Chicago Symphony, which is a remarkable work from the late years. And it's all about the suppression of voices. These cello solos, except they're not solos because you've got two tambourines constantly going in the orchestra trying to drown them out. And there are numerous references to the Fourth Symphony, which was a piece that was in rehearsal in 1936, and he was forced to withdraw it, and it didn't get heard for a quarter century. So there's a perfect example of a composer reflecting on social justice or injustice in his milieu.
There's a tradition for this going all the way back. If you go back, I suppose you could consider Hildegard von Bingen someone who's dealing with these same issues. So from my perspective, it seems perfectly natural. It's part of our lives. It's who we are.